In order to win a debate and prove your point, you should step forward fully armed with facts that will educate and influence who you're targeting. When the Second Amendment is discussed and even challenged, my next guest with his new best-selling book shares how the anti-gun zealots instead show up with whims and demands weakly disguised as facts and information, with their goal being restricting and even eliminating one of America's foundational rights. He presents the ways that the Second Amendment and your personal security are being threatened in his new book, The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies, along with being a best-selling author and economist. He is the founder of the Crime Prevention Research Center. John Lott, thanks for being here, Mr. Lott.
Thanks for having me on.
John Lott, johnrlott.com and crimeresearch.org, two of the sites pertaining to Mr. Lott's work and his books. And
you can just do the crimeresearch.org, that's fine.
That gets you to everywhere. All right, very good. Then crimeresearch.org. What was it that you wanted to prove and present with The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies?
Well, there's a lot at stake in this election with regard to guns. I think if Hillary Clinton wins and she appoints anybody to the Supreme Court, you're going to end up with a situation where the previous decisions are going to be overturned. Hillary's already made it clear that she's going to appoint Supreme Court justices who will overturn the Heller and McDonald decisions. And the Heller decision, the only thing it did was it said that D.C. could not completely ban guns. There was a handgun ban, and they also had a five-year prison term on anybody who loaded a bullet into the chamber of a rifle or put a shotgun shell into a shotgun. So as the Supreme Court noted, that effectively made it a felony for anybody to use a gun defensively to protect themselves or protect their families. So if she overturns that, the only thing the governments will again be able to do is to ban guns. I'm not really sure what's left of the Second Amendment if governments have the power to completely ban guns and make it a crime for anybody at any time to use a gun in self-defense.
We are told by the anti-Second Amendment people that the more regulations there are requiring handguns, the more detailed background checks are regarding guns, the more safety would result out of that. How misleading or how fantasy-filled is that line of thought?
Yeah, well, I think the types of regulations that they push primarily disarm good, law-abiding people, make it more costly for them to have guns, and primarily disarm law-abiding, poor minority individuals, particularly blacks. President, you mentioned the background checks on private transfers. President Obama has brought those up after each of the mass public shootings. I wish that there was some reporter sometime that would ask him once if he could point to any of these mass public shootings that would have been stopped had those laws been in effect. And the answer is no, he can't. It's not one single one of these attacks would have been stopped. On the other hand, there's some real problems with the background checks that never get discussed. Last week, Hillary Clinton was again claiming that there are 2.4 million dangerous or prohibited individuals that have been stopped from buying guns because of background checks. And that's simply a lie. What she should say is that there have been 2.4 million initial denials, and that virtually all of those are false positives. You have law-abiding individuals who should have been allowed to buy guns, but were stopped simply because they had a name similar to someone that we really did want to stop. And there's a real cost to that. I mean, when you're talking about 2.4 million people, you're going to end up with a small but significant number of those individuals who may have really needed a gun quickly for self-defense, but they were stopped from doing so. But that's only the tip of the problem that's there. Very heavily discriminates against minorities. People tend to have names similar to others in their racial group. Asians have names similar to other Asians. Hispanics have names similar to other Hispanics. Blacks have names similar to other blacks. 30% of black males in the United States are legally prohibited from owning a gun because of past criminal history. Well, who are they most likely to have similar names to? It's going to be law-abiding, good black males who are going to be improperly stopped by the government. Problem is, it's gotten even worse under Obama. One of the reasons is that at least under the Clinton and Bush administrations, it may take a year, but they would eventually go back in most cases and double-check and realize that they had made a mistake and gotten the wrong person. President Obama has pulled off every last single person who used to do those double checks. Nobody is doing that anymore. Now, you can appeal, but that's a costly process. Most people aren't able to go and properly fill out all the forms that are required. I mean, it's as bad as income taxes or worse. And so they end up having to hire a lawyer, and that costs thousands of dollars. And so not only are blacks and Hispanics much more likely to be improperly stopped, but when you're talking about poor blacks and Hispanics, they're the ones who aren't going to be able to go and afford the thousands of dollars to go through the legal hassles to, again, be able to own a gun.
Seems rather right.
That's part of it. I mean, I could go through other problems, too.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I want you listening to read John's book, The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. John's also the founder of the Crime Prevention Research Center, crimeresearch.org. Here's the odd thing, John. You can, as you described the situation, it's all this mountain of paper for someone to exercise their Second Amendment rights. But we counter that with, well, oh, if you want to vote, no, there's no voter ID. We can't have that because that's hindering someone's opportunity to vote, whether or not they're legal or not.
Right. Well, they won't even do it for free voter IDs. They say free voter IDs is too much of a burden on people, even if free voter IDs when they offer to come to your home to go and take care of it. But, you know, here with guns, you have to have IDs to be able to go and buy guns. You know, there's no concern about that. You know, you just look at Democrats. I'll give you one of the examples I give in the book. In 2013, some state legislators in Colorado contacted me about the background check changes they were making there. These are background checks on private transfers, the same type of ones that President Obama has been pushing. There's a tax on private transfers that was in the legislation that got passed, and I suggested to the legislators who had called that they put up an amendment that would exempt people below the poverty level from having to pay the new state tax on transferring guns. And they put that up, and with the exception of two pro-gun Democrats, every other Democrat in the state house there voted against exempting people below the poverty level from having to pay the new state tax. Yet, you know, how many taxes can you point to where Democrats will fight tooth and nail against exempting people below the poverty level from having to pay them? I think it just goes and shows in a very clear way, and there are other examples I give in the war on guns, that Democrats are mainly concerned about making it difficult for people to get guns, particularly poor blacks.
We are told that guns in America, they're underregulated, and American society is ultra-violent, that we can learn lessons from the way other countries deal with their gun regulations and societies. Is there any place in the world that these ideas are working?
Well, I mean, you look at Australia, or you look... Well, let me just make a simple comment, and that is every place in the world that's banned guns, and I have a chapter on this in the War on Guns, you see increases in murder rates. There's not a single time where we have crime data both before and after the ban where a ban on guns has lowered murder rates. And often they increase by 6, 7, 8-fold after the bans have gone into effect. And there's a simple reason for that, and that is the bans primarily are obeyed by law-abiding good citizens, not the criminals. And to the extent that you relatively disarm law-abiding citizens compared to the criminals, you actually make it relatively easier for them to go and commit crime. You know, and this applies to other types of gun regulations, too. I mean, you have to be careful who's most likely to be disarmed. If you go and impose a tax on people getting guns, the main people who are going to pay that tax are going to be law-abiding good people. If you put a tax on the private transfer of guns, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be the law-abiding good people who go out of their way to obey the law and do the private background checks who are the ones who are going to be paying that.
As you go through the presidential race from now through November, it's not really about whose tax returns say what. It's about whose track record and words foretell what they would do when they are in office. And when it comes to the Second Amendment, well, certainly the Cam Clinton is looking to make guns an endangered species. This has, by the way, where a handgun ban, I believe, has been instituted. The city of Chicago this past week had 100 shootings, which makes it 2,500 shootings so far this year. John arms you with the facts, with charts, graphs, statistics, and the reality versus some of the manufactured health studies, quote-unquote, that the Michael Bloombergs and others try to perpetrate as facts. The book is The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. He's also the founder of the Crime Prevention Research Center, crimeresearch.org. Mr. Lotz, thank you so much for doing the facts, the hard work, the digging, and bringing the reality to people. Thanks for being here today.
No, thank you very much. After spending a few years putting the research together, it's nice to be able to talk about it. So I appreciate it.